Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 963. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. Four beers into the night, and I am ready to go.
Yeah, I, in at least a nominal attempt to try and make up that ground, the Belltime beer was picked up last evening at Seventh Son Brewing and is a 13.7 Imperial Brownie Ale. I don't think that completely makes up for 4.16s, but I will... That is about the best I could have done. Other than like one of my barrel aged bottles, which I haven't really busted one of those out on the show yet. Maybe I should do that sometime. Just really get half hammered during a show with one of these. Well, this one is barrel aged too, but yeah, all these barrel aged beers tend to be a little high in ABV there. So, anywho, a lot of beer talk to start off the show because there was two shows this week. NXT is the freshest in my mind since I watched it today. It's so funny. The wife likes to watch NXT because it is the young people, and she doesn't mind the screw-ups. But I have learned to not make her watch AEW. She is donezo with that one. Even her beloved Jerry has not made her proud recently. That being Chris Jericho.
No. Chris Jericho's not making anybody proud.
So, but anywho, we did just watch the tail end of NXT, but I want to start at the very beginning. I made the snide joke that at least Kalani Jordan got to have a promo after she was made champion, but boy, that wasn't much of a promo, and she promptly had to scoot on out of there for a match.
Yeah.
Did not think that was a great start to proceedings.
Not a great start to proceedings, no, but it's NXT. These folks need to be given this time to cut promos. I mean, for good or for bad, they need to be thrown out there.
That was the one thing to me. I think for me, I'm like, I don't mind her being interrupted. It just seemed entirely too quickly. You know what I mean? Just to get that promo time that you're talking about. Like, whether she sinks or swims is kind of irrelevant, especially since she's... I mean, they're like, hey, it's only been 2 years. And we're like, yeah, you're not going to get the job down pat more than likely in 2 years.
Right.
Which is fine. But yeah, I feel like you need to give her a little more rope to either shine or sink here. But yeah, they did not do that at all. So, but that led into what? Jada Parker and I'm trying to remember who, because it was someone else from, Mee-Chin.
Mee-Chin, yes.
And it was kind of curious, I guess, that... the Good Brothers back in NXT to help out Mee-Chin to pick up this W here.
Yeah, Mee-Chin was seemingly on the outs with AJ Styles and the Good Brothers, but now back in, but only on NXT. It doesn't. Yeah, I'm not wholly sure how all this is going to work. But, I mean, in the end, it was fine because, you know, Mee-Chin won, and then next week, we'll get Kalani Jordan and Mee-Chin. So, Kalani Jordan, we'll get that veteran to work with. So that will be good. I mean, and Mee-Chin is not, like, a super strong baby face. So, if they want to turn her heel through in... The problem is it happened on NXT. So, the last we saw on SmackDown, she was on the outs with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
But that, but again, they all were on the outs until the good, until the Good Brothers side have sided with AJ only recently. Back with AJ only recently. So yeah, it's definitely a little, the, as we go on here, the face heel dynamics on NXT are a little ambiguous, to say the least, in a number of areas.
Yeah, and not in the, I think we talked
especially
about,
amongst the women,
the main roster, where they've done a good job of kind of bringing that gray area dynamic to people like Drew McIntyre and Chad Gable, even. And even some of the baby faces, but those two stand out to me. But yeah, the people in NXT do not have that that kind of leverage.
No.
So it does help to have a history in professional wrestling. Like Drew McIntyre is definitely playing off that. So, yeah. And that was kind of weird that, oh my gosh. Florida just went up 4-1. Oh man, good night. Good night, Edmonton. Okay, sorry for the hockey interruption there. It'll also tell you when we're recording. But yeah, Mee Chin is a better, I guess, sacrificial lamb, and Jada Parker is the better matchup to have later down the road for
I guess.
Lonnie Jordan,
I mean, I've not really seen much out of Jada Parker to tell me one way or the other what I should really feel about her.
Yeah, I mean, it's super early, but I guess I don't feel like she's in a... Well, maybe she would be fine to take the loss. I feel like...
Yeah, it'd be fine to take the loss. It doesn't matter, like, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't matter and gives Kalani Jordan a win, but giving her the win over a veteran works better for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that aspect of things works out. So yeah, that went on, the six man match with Gallus taking on Wesley, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne was, about what you expect.
Yeah, it's exactly what you would expect. There really wasn't much to it. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, it was a decent, 10 minute match that, you know, no surprise. Yeah. Gallus, ends up going over.
No surprise at all. Shawn Michaels loves his gals.
Next, I guess there's something to be talked about with the unveiling of the rebooted Wendy Chu. Early thoughts on the nightmare version of this gimmick.
My verdict is still out. Yeah, I need more time with this.
yeah, it's gonna depend. Like, NXT is a wacky place. I still am with Jeremy in that I think she's a good enough wrestler and a good enough talker that she doesn't need this wacky gimmick. I think you and I talked about this. I feel like the wrestlers have a little more input, so I'm like, man, wouldn't she push for something different? The nightmare part, I guess, is going to be decent in that it's going to be a different take. And I did like her aggressiveness in the ring against Brynley Reese.
Yeah.
So I do think that that's a good start for a change.
Yeah, it was fine. Do they really need to follow up a Thea Hill segment with a Brynley Reese segment? Why would you? I still am not over this. Why would you hire someone that is that much of a physical resemblance to someone you already have? I and they and there are no I still don't understand it.
Yeah, I did chuckle that Jeremy mentioned that there was another blonde segment, and I did not.
Oh, think that was later, yeah.
I did not think that was quite as egregious as the original one that he was mad about. Although, yeah, a whole lot of blondes in NXT currently.
There is.
So, yeah, I guess I'm with you, too. Jury's still out on Wendy Chu. There needed to be some type of change. So I guess this is the change, and we'll see where it goes. Cody Rhodes made an appearance in NXT, and he got to do most of his segment with Trick Williams.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, combining Trick with Cody, you know, seems like a good idea on paper, and for the most part, it was fine. You know, it was good. It was mostly a good moment for Trick, but then of course, some writer on NXT spent a little too much time in Black Twitter. And had to make a cookout reference, which hilariously, have you seen how it confused the hell out of Brian Alvarez?
I'm like, I saw some of the pictures, and then I saw the explanation later that he thought it was like a thing.
Yeah, you know, like, there really is a cookout. Like, no, it's like. Yeah, I don't want to explain it. It's just like it was a really silly line, and you know, like Cody's basically, it's trying to say like Cody's so down with the black community that he's invited to their cookout, to their 4th of July party, basically. And it's just like, it was a little cringe. It was a little cringe worthy. It was.
Oh man, whatever.
I mean, I know that was just some white writer thinking that they hit on something cool or whatever. It's whatever. I mean, trust me, Cody's night got a lot weirder. Somehow Cody's night got a lot weirder from there.
Yeah, I mean, you just want to go ahead and talk about that? The fact that him, Lexus King, Sean Spears, and Ethan Page all had a segment. And the fact that because I watch NXT late these days, I had caught the do you call it a meme? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is the picture going around with the four of them? Because Cody kind of meets them and says something, because I'm trying to remember what he said. But then he walks away, you know, like, and the three of them are kind of left there. But they did the whole Spider-Man pointing thing at each other. And I saw that before I saw this segment. And I'm just like, what is going on here?
I mean, I guess it's a wild segment, but it's also it's not exactly three Cody and three AEW main eventers doing this either. Former AEW main eventers doing this either. So it's like it's Ethan Page, Sean Spears, and Brian Pillman Jr. Come on, let's not go too crazy here.
Yeah.
But then before that, Cody has his segment with JC Jane, handing her off the mask. So that she can wear the dashing Cody Rhodes mask from when he got his nose broken. The biggest babyface in the business was really having a good time galling around with all the heels on NXT, I guess.
Except for Trick. I did think, honestly, I expected JC Jane to dispose of the mask somehow. But she's really treating it like Kylo Ren treated Darth Vader's helmet.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. She loves her mask. Yeah. She
if anyone does not get that reference,
I mean,
watch the new Star Wars movies. but yeah, I think that to me it was almost weird that he Like, I obviously I understand why he presented it to her, but also, like, she's the heel, but also she's going against Roxanne Perez, who's also a heel. Like, this is kind of a weird attempt at a baby face turn, question mark?
Well, are we going too far ahead now? or do you want to try to talk about the last segment?
Well, I guess because we started down that road, connected in J.
What a weird
connected.
No. What a weird final segment. We've got Roxanne Perez, who her whole heel turn has been so half-assed. You know, she's wrestled heels on multiple occasions. She, you know, she's not a natural heel by any means. So we have her calling out Ava, who
she's
She's not going to be feuding with. But I assume we've just decided that Dwayne's daughter is not meant to be a wrestler. She's probably not meant to be an authority figure either. But we'll come across that. But they feel like she can't be right now. For reasons, she will need to be continuing to be on this show no matter what. And we all know that. Even though she sounds like, as I mentioned on a show recently with Jeremy, she always speaks like a teenager just had her braces taken off an hour ago, and she's learning how to speak without them.
Not the best on the mic either.
No. So she calls out Ava. Then she's interrupted by J.C. Jane, right? Was that first?
Yeah, J.C. Jane was first.
Then interrupted by...
I'm going to that part of the of the review here. To remember the ordering. Lash was next.
Lash Legend.
And... Jakara Jade,
who are also, you know,
heels,
half-assed between being heel and being babyface. And then they're interrupted. Then that is interrupted by Lola Vice, who I was pretty sure was a babyface the whole time she was working with Shayna. But then it all breaks down into a brawl that sees Lola Vice and Roxanne Perez clear the ring together and then stand side by side with no tension.
I did think that Lola Vice was giving her a side eye.
A little bit, maybe, but not...
It wasn't not super obviously. Over the top.
Not super over the top. Yeah, once again... I mean, at this point, we kind of know the scores. A bunch of people were called up after WrestleMania... And they are essentially starting from scratch. They got new battleground with bringing in Ethan Page and bringing in Jordynne Grace.
No one is
really ready. Although the closest would probably be Lola Vice because she got the clean, you know, the clean win over Shayna.
Yeah.
But they want to involve JC Jane and. Crap, how did I keep forgetting your name?
Lash Legend.
Yeah. So, very strange segment. Very strange face heel alignments. Very ambiguous. Just a very weird way to end the show, because if you're going to end the show with Roxanne Perez's State of the Women's Division address, you expect more than that. You expect a big debut or a big return. With something like that, or someone from the main roster coming down.
No.
To be your next challenger, instead of this weird situation. Because we just don't see that. So we've got all of the. So we've already had this big multiple person schmoz for a women's championship. So it's a very. Yeah. NXT has this heat wave coming up in Toronto, but they really don't have anything really set up for it. Which then there's actually a battle next week, for the NXT Championship held by Trick Williams. And I'm pretty sure that either Lexus King or Shawn Michaels.
I guess if you're using Sean Spears as the player coach, he seems like the man to fill that role.
I guess so. Makes me glad I didn't purchase a passport and make international travel plans to go to Benny in the Bank weekend. Jesus Christ, Sean Spears.
Not super appealing. Like, I mean, I think he fits okay in that role, but not super appealing. Again, he is what he is at this point. Oh man, it's still a little bit. I guess I didn't mind the women's segment as much as you did, because I'm like, okay, now you have the challengers. I wasn't thinking as much about the fact that everyone involved is a half-assed heel, essentially. So that's a little bit of a problem. They seem like the most obvious choices to challenge Roxanne. They're still, I guess because there wasn't, Lash kind of had her match the ladder match that she got the big, I got killed spot. Lola won her match, and JC's just making a comeback. So I guess I thought, to me, it seemed like JC was the one that you could just run with right away. Like, still weird dynamic, but because she hasn't been around, but does at least have some name cachet in NXT itself, that I felt like they could get away with that one. So I guess I thought it was a little bit strange that they included the other two, even if I think that they're probably the next closest to ready to take a run at this, at the women's championship.
Yeah.
So, Trick still, oof, man, he does not have anything there. And speaking of Mr. King, him and Dante Chen really beat the hell out of each other.
They did do that. I won't take that away from them.
I'm not sure that I like the match, but oh boy.
No.
They definitely upped the violence level without pouring blood out. Some of those welts looked pretty nasty.
They were pretty nasty. I mean, it was, once again, I mean, they went for it. I cannot take that away from them, but can't say that I was emotionally invested in their way either. I will never be a Lexus King / Brian Pillman Jr. fan. And Dante Chen is just one of those guys that there's just nothing there. It's just not. Sometimes you can just look at a person and realize they are not meant to be a star. They are not meant. Essentially, they are not meant to be a professional wrestler. I'm sorry.
He's a guy that just doesn't feel like the it factor is there.
No, there's nothing there. No.
Because I was kind of shocked that he ended up getting to two wins in this whole Lexus King thing before he got the W. I guess I figured that Lexus King would just win the second thing. Like, winning winning the end of the feud is the good way to go. Like,
I guess so. Once again, there's just. I am Yeah, I will never be excited to see Brian Pillman Jr. It's just there is just nothing there, and there will never be enough there for me to latch on to. He's
I will give him something. He spends a lot of money to get his facial hair sculpted.
He does do that.
I guess the only other, and I mean, it's kind of a nothing burger segment too. Eddie Thorpe back. Okay. Like that was just, it felt like they built that up and then it was just, I guess I don't mind, squash match returns, but it felt like a nothing. I guess it still wasn't quite dominant enough to be a complete squash match, since he did take some offense from Tavion Heights. So it's just like, okay. Like, don't get why, you know, it should just, you know, if you're going to go with that type of win, just go with that type of win. I don't remember seeing Tavion Heights before. I feel like he can take a quick L.
Yeah, very true, yes.
So, I'm trying to think of, I feel like there is one other match for some reason that,
I don't remember.
So, I guess, oh, that's what it was. Javon Evans against Sean Spears, but that was another one where it was what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Young guy is supposed to be learning the lesson from the veteran.
NXT is in such a weird position right now. They've so many people left and so many people weren't ready, and they did what they could with this Battleground, but it was probably the weakest of these types of shows this year at the very least, or if not well into 2023, you'd have to go back to, if not 2022, to find a weaker NXT show. The Battleground, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. NXT seems like an interest in ratings. They got a bump from Jordan Grace showing up, from Ethan Page showing up, from the sexy red stuff or whatever that was worth, and her viral internet fame and all that. But overall, they just don't have people ready for tricking Roxanne. That's pretty much the bottom line on it.
Yeah. And it's going to hurt both their title reigns.
Yeah.
That's kind of in the category of a few years ago when Ronda Rousey had no one to work with.
Yeah.
Or she was working with a way too early in stages, Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
So, since that wraps up NXT, let's go ahead and move on to AEW. That was a fairly easy show to watch this week.
Yeah, very easy to watch, very breezy, surprisingly good show. Because going into it, I was not, as our group chat could prove, I was not super into it. but it overall it ended up being a fun show. I enjoyed AEW this week.
And I do feel like we talked about it a little bit last week. And it felt like the opening segment was Swerve Strickland criticizing Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. It does feel like that man could drop his championship sooner rather than later to William Ospreay.
At this point,
out and saves him. Like, that match is almost completely set up now.
Yeah, I mean, I know that their previous Blood and Guts matches have been 5-on-5 instead of 4-on-4, so there may be some other shoes to drop here.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I thought we were done pushing the Acclaimed, but apparently we're not. So I mean, whatever. I mean, I don't hate them and Max Caster's raps as much as some other people do, but I'm also feeling like that time the time has come and gone from them as well. So
it's
a weird choice that for people that, you know, match up with the elite and be perceived as equals, especially like 60-year-old Billy Gunn and being in the mix.
Especially when he's the one who looks in the best shape in the
group. Yes. He once again, the most deceptively gigantic man in wrestling history, Billy Gunn.
Oh man!
Except when he's face to face with people the Young Bucks size or Jack Perry size. Oh, Collins, actually, the Japanese guys, the Asian guys, somehow the tallest of the bunch. That's, you don't usually see that.
No, that is a surprising one. I don't know what Okada's height is, but
I think he's like 6'3" or so. Yeah, he's pretty tall. He's pretty tall for a Japanese wrestler. Yes,
he's pretty tall. Just
a tall one of those guys. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stop at a pretty tall. Like if you're above 6'2", like I'm like you're tall. Like buzz off.
Yeah,
buzz off for all those average people.
So it's looking like Swerve's being set up to be the team captain of the team that's the team AEW or whatever is going to go against the Elite at Blood and Guts in Nashville. Our dear friend Steve Williams has bought his tickets to attend. He announced that tonight. So Louisville to Nashville, not a bad drive for old Steve. He will be there, and it's. I believe that's July 24th in Nashville. So, and once again, building that up to be a bigger show, seemingly building that up to be a bigger show than Forbidden Door already.
I mean, there have already been multiple jokes on their own show about how there's going to be random Japanese wrestlers showing up for matches for Forbidden Door. Like, not a great way to advertise a pay-per-view on your broadcast.
It is not. No. I don't even know what they could possibly do to make me even think about ordering this show.
Well, it's one thing that did happen later on in this show. Because what's his name? Shingeki. I'm trying to think of what his last name is.
Shingo Takagi?
Oh, Shingo Takagi. Yeah. Well, I'm just sitting there because I don't know if it's you and I or Jeremy and I talking about how they're kind of running out of names to come over. And I'm like, oh my God, is this where we're going in New Japan to bring the name over now? Because they have Okada now, like, he can't come over and be one of those people. Tanahashi's mostly retired now? Fully retired?
Yeah, I mean, solidly in the mid-card undercard for his wrestling, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and then, like, I mean, I guess Naito is the biggest, native star over there, and he's gonna face Moxley, basically the biggest match they could do, essentially, as far as Moxley defending the championship as a New Japan guy. But he's also someone who feels like he's also stale as well. Like, he's someone who, when he was at his hottest, really, they missed a window from when I was regularly watching New Japan. Because he was pretty hot, and then they had him lose, I think, lose the first match to Okada, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. That would have been the same show as Omega, the first Omega Jericho, if I remember correctly. And they did have Naito lose that. So it's like one of those moments where they kind of missed the moment there, the biggest moment for him. But he's still, I guess, at this point, the biggest, native star there. So that's whatever. But yeah, Shingo is a pretty big star there. Although, right. I remember him on Ring of Honor shows dating back into like 2006, 2007. So again, another not young guy. New Japan isn't, there's a reason why they are running Ospreay versus Swerve on this show. Ospreay still kind of can feel like a bit of a New Japan guy while he's full-time with AEW, and it's one of the bigger matches they can do, so they're going to do it here.
Right. But yeah, and yes, as you were saying earlier, it is an indictment. Like, you don't, like, I guess that's the only, Moxley and Naito is the only match that could possibly be the main event. But I think, isn't kind of like Anarchy in the Arena, is Blood and Guts always the main event?
But Blood and Guts is happening in Nashville on an episode of Dynamite a month later. Almost a month later.
Okay.
Yeah, they always do Blood and Guts as a Dynamite episode. That's always been the thing with it.
Yeah. Rolls eyes.
But yeah, no, but I mean New Japan, they're doing this at a time when
it's really pulling from the maybe lower part of the roster now to try and make these matchups fresh.
New Japan is as cold as a wrestling company could be. I mean, it's been building since, you know, the pandemic era, and even before, you know, they never really replaced the Elite, and, you know, they probably, you could argue that they overpushed Jay White and, you know, all that. And, you know, they ran Okada versus Jay White so many times as a thing. Yeah. I mean, once again, I mean, there's no novelty to the Forbidden Door left, and they don't really have any dream matches either. So it's just, there's going to be New Japan get people and CMLL people on the show, but at the end of the day, it's being sold on an AEW match in the main event.
Yeah.
And in that match, this is why the timeline of everything is confusing me. Why is Ospreay walking around with that third tier championship, third, fourth tier championship, no one cares about if he's about to win the world title.
You had to have known that this was coming. Like, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, you put him in a weird spot.
Yeah, I mean, the international title, when it's not around George Cassidy, is in a weird spot. It doesn't really need to exist. It's a title that doesn't need to exist. That and the Continental Championship, Classic Championship, does not. Neither of those things need to exist in any way, shape, or form. But the International Championship was around Orange Cassidy's place. It existed as something of like a TV championship, WCW TV championship, somewhere along those lines. It could be defended on TV every week in a good match. But now it's really not that anymore. Really, it only mattered when Orange Cassidy had it, basically. Because it was the title. The man made the title in that case.
I feel like that's almost a general philosophy in AEW, where they the people make the title. The title really isn't the important thing.
But you got Ospreay holding one title, one of these B titles, and you got Okada holding the other title, and they both still seem meaningless because the guys holding them feel like they're above the championship and they're not bringing it up with them.
Yeah, because, I mean, Okada is really involved in more Elite stuff than he is for defending his championship, even though I know that he's at least defended it once.
He has defended it once, yes. He defended it against, was it Pac at Double or Nothing?
It was
Pac at Dynasty, and then Double or Nothing. He wasn't defending the title because he was in Anarchy at the Arena, yes. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was that weird period where they're just taking everything off of Eddie Kingston, and then he went and got himself hurt. So I guess Tony Khan doesn't really want to push Eddie Kingston anymore. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about him for a very long time.
No. That whole broken leg thing, well, that'll take a little bit of time. So I guess I'm trying to think of, that ties up most of the Elite stuff that was on the show there, and I'm trying to think of what else went. Oh my gosh, The fact that Dustin Rhodes was in any type of qualifier match.
Just... For a ladder match. What if he won? Yeah, I mean...
Ugh. Okay, but
there,
anyway...
There was a time right when it's like, won. Okay, Dustin's this older guy who can still turn it on every once in a while. Was fun. Especially the one match he had with Cody and a few other matches. But now it's beyond done. Like... He's almost 60 years old. Like there's nothing left here. And him and Jack Perry is a terrible match because Jack Perry's working with an older, bigger guy who isn't moving very well himself anymore. And Jack Perry, whose offense doesn't look very good against guys like that. It was just. This was a really, I thought that was a really bad match. It was one of the worst, I like the show for the most part, but that was something that didn't work for me, brother.
Fair enough. Rouge with an actual squash match. But then MJF comes out and they have a pull-apart brawl.
They did do that.
This,
well done. Everything was good with it. Everything was good about this part. Yes.
I guess I like it, but it also feels like I feel like you posted the meme recently from Anchorman, where it's just like, man, this thing really escalated quickly.
I mean, it did. It's whatever. Once again, it's MJF's return feud, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he's gonna. Get the win next week, they might do a double count or a double qualification type of finish so that they can have a gimmick match or whatever.
Oh. Right. Yep. That is possible. There could be some shenanigans involved so that MJF doesn't just win right off the bat.
Yeah.
So, that was it was a pretty angry brawl. Man, six-man matches, not feeling it this week. Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy against Takeshita, Roderick Strong, and Kyle Fletcher with even more people, with three more people and Don Callis at ringside. Good Lord, was this a clown show?
It was definitely a clusterfuck. Although the promo beforehand showed what Mark Briscoe brings to the table, so that Mark Briscoe is definitely a fun promo. You
can't beat that from him. That was an excellent promo. That man does know how to cut a promo.
But again, it's this weird dynamic. Why isn't Trent Beretta in the match? Why is Roderick Strong in the match? We're still doing this stuff with the Undisputed Kingdom and Kyle O'Reilly, where he may or may not join them, even though he seems to have made his choice already. It was a little weird. The match itself was fine. The match was, it was a good match. Like, I guess maybe Kyle Fletcher is going to get some type of an ROH title, at least feud, maybe heading into Death Above Dishonor or whatever the hell the next ROH show is or whatever, who cares?
And then, of course, I don't have a list in front of me, and quite frankly, I still, even though they've been around for 5 years, I don't remember their pay-per-view show names still.
5 years? More like 20 years.
Oh, no, AEW itself.
No. I was talking about our ROH show.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. They are 20. Because, yeah, that's 94. Still can't believe it was that new.
No, 02.
Oh, 02.
02, over 20 year, whatever. Yeah, whenever they had their... Yeah, because I remember Death Before Dishonor is one of the key names for one of their bigger shows. But yeah, it looks like, I mean, I guess maybe Kyle Fletcher's getting that title shot, you know, whatever. And then, you know, the stuff continued with Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta and Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. Like, you know, we'll, I assume we're getting a mixed egg out of that sooner or later.
No. Yeah.
Fine stuff. I mean, as fine as anything in drawing Trent Beretta could be. I like three of the four people involved in that.
Yeah, Trent Beretta's the wet blanket in that situation for sure.
He is. He's definitely a wet blanket, and it's
because he's.
At times it feels like that thing of Orange Cassidy is super over. What can we do about this problem? Let's throw Trent Beretta and Don Callis at him.
Oh man, Orange Cassidy has had a lot of obstacles thrown in his way.
He has. He's definitely one of those people who he's lower on the card than he was a few months back, and it's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. Don't understand what they're doing there. One thing I am getting a little bit of a kick out of, Hook and Samoa Joe seem like a complimentary group.
They really are. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Yes. Now, granted, Hook 3 years in, and I'm not sure if we should still be treating him like a complete rookie, but he's still young enough, fresh faced enough, and Joe's a veteran, legend, what have you. It's they got a fun dynamic. I got a kick out of Cook doing the whole thing where his opponent jumps off the top rope and he just kind of shrugs it off, but he didn't totally like do it like Joe does. So Joe has to go like, hey, you did all right. You did all right there. Yeah. Yeah. They're fun together. I like it so far.
I look forward to that. Is there much to be said about Mercedes Moné taking on Zooksies from CMLL?
No, not really. I mean, it was fine. Because when you let Mercedes actually wrestle and don't make her, speak for 20 minutes at a time, she's more in her wheelhouse. But with all this Forbidden Store stuff and the CMLL people, she doesn't really have a lot to bite her teeth into either.
No, because she still needs to get the character across, so she needs some amount of promo time. But I guess you kind of knew why this was happening. And, it's just like, well, if she can beat one Mexican, she can beat another Mexican. Here we are. And we did get at least, didn't we get a video package of Stephanie Vicar during the show?
I don't even remember.
It was pretty short, but I do think that they at least kind of gave a little bit of her history, so
yeah.
Props in that department that they are doing what they can to build up this feud. So
the only women's video package that really struck with me was the stuff they did with Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May. Yeah. First of all, I did get a kick out of when they do the match graphic, Mariah May is on both sides. Dressed differently.
Yep, she has her Toni Storm imitation gimmick look on one side and her, more natural look,
if you want to call it. Yeah. And you know what, the video package was fun. I'm not going to say as a heterosexual male that this isn't hitting me as exactly as it's intended to.
Yeah, we tried to dance around the topic a little bit last week, but I mean, there is just no dancing around that now.
Everyone
has made this about sexy time. It's like, ladies, like, I'm not going to be some weirdo like the guy in the front row heckling all the women, but it's also like, you guys are putting it out there, so...
They're putting it out there once again, and again, I'm not entertained by the whole shenanigans of it. As we said in the past, it's hard to take. You almost have to make the timeless Tony Torm storylines ridiculous because it's hard to just take seriously in general.
At least acted a little more natural this week. I know we complained about that last week. It didn't seem quite as bizarre. It's just going to be bizarre because of the situation.
But, I mean, there is the part of the video where Mariah May says, Mina's like a sister to me. And then they immediately cut to a video of them kissing each other on the lips. I just like you. Have fun, ladies. Have fun.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Toni Storm's promo about her tits are out and calling herself a wide load, looking down at her ass.
Oh yeah, there is some wildness going on there.
Yeah.
with that storyline for sure.
It is pretty wild.
Yeah, I don't care about talking about Daniel Garcia and yet another squash match of his, which is
Daniel Garcia is just like. Are we really doing this again with Daniel Garcia? Are we really teasing that he's going to win a title and then yank it away again? And if he does win, does it really matter at this point? We are like 3 years. It was like 3 years ago he debuted as the plucky young guy who tried really hard but couldn't win the big one. We're 3 years into this now, and he's still the plucky young guy who can't win the big one.
Yeah. Similar thing to Hook, you know, like at least his stuff with Samoa Joe is entertaining. This is not entertaining. When Matt Menard is your mouthpiece that comes down to ringside and all the other announcers are just annoyed by him, it's another whole weird package going on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What? Pac? Much to say about his promo backstage about...
No, at all.
Then we got Will Ospreay and Rey Fénix. That's where we're down to, sir.
Wait. We missed something.
What did I miss here?
The learning tree.
Oh yeah, you know what? I was way down here. We had skipped ahead on parts.
Yeah. remember how I said I was amused last week by the backstage stuff, but when they got back and doing in ring stuff the next week, it's gonna be pure garbage. It ended up pure garbage.
Yeah, there was a reason I was just leaving that leaving that alone. Like it's a similar thing. Like they're trying to reboot Private Party, who hasn't worked for 5 years. Like, I think you and I said that last week.
Hey, on the first episode of Dynamite, they beat the Young Bucks, you know, or the second episode or whatever it was 5 years ago. And since then, it's been nothing. It's been nothing ever since. Yes, there's just no one is ever going to believe in it with them. And of course, Jericho, of course, in front of the crowd is, you know, is just, it's gonna turn lame. He's gonna overdo it. Whatever was funny about last week is gonna, he's gonna run that joke into the ground. And yeah, nothing good about this.
Was not part of the upswing that I had seen with this gimmick. That's for sure. It definitely flattened out this week. Was
I'm shocked. Fan.
Yeah, I think both of us sit down is shocked for this one. Chris Jericho, just. The fact that he keeps on calling it a vortex, I'm like, dude, that just really isn't good to keep on noting that you have really killed a lot of people's careers, including Daniel Garcia's. Not great. William Ospreay ends up beating Rey Fénix. This is kind of one of those prototypical AEW matches, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely a prototypical AEW match. I mean, it's exactly what you would expect. If you're mad about it, you know, I don't even know why you're watching. this is just what they're going to do. It was fine. It was good for what it was. Yeah. And then at the end, you know, they tried to create tension with Swerve and Will Ospreay. So which is fine. I mean, they have to. I mean, because otherwise, title being on the line, these two characters have really nothing in common and have no real history together.
I mean, I feel like they've maybe referenced history, but it's like, hey guys, A, that stuff was all a long time ago. B, it wasn't on AEW TV. So they have a short time to try and build up some type of feud there.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're pushing that in the right direction. Anything to be said for Jeff Hardy being a quote unquote free agent?
Have fun in TNA where I never have to watch you, pal.
People are like, should he come back to the WWE? And I'm like, no, that's okay. We don't need that to happen.
No, it's beyond over for him and his brothers. So yeah, go to TNA, have fun.
Yep, get a paycheck. The WWE in no way needs you. Any other wrestling tidbits to go over before we punch on out of here, sir?
I think we're good.
Yesterday I waited in a very, very long line to get some very tasty bao buns at Seventh Son Brewery. On the way out, I picked up a 4-pack of their Tort Imperial Brownie Ale, barrel-aged, infused with orange and cacao. The orange really pops. It is one of the chocolatier beers that I have ever had. So tip of the hat for that. I feel like when I hear the cacao, I don't always get as much chocolate as this. Like, you could almost taste the browniness of the chocolate. Like, it kind of, yeah, had this nice chocolatiness to it that was super enjoyable. Seventh Son Brewing, very good brewery. Should one find themselves in Columbus, hit me up. I would be more than happy to go to Seventh Son Brewing at any time. And I believe their beers are available all throughout Ohio. So should one be in this state, you can probably pick up some of their beer. So give them a look should you be here. That is the Bell Time beer suggestion from @DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.